All right, so there we go. First of all, thank you all so much for joining us. For the meantime, I'm going to keep the call unmuted for everyone. And if I start to hear a lot of background noise, I may mute individuals. But if possible, mute yourself by pressing *6 on your phone or the mute button if you happen to have that feature on your phone as well, just to keep background noise to a minimum here on the call. We'd really, really appreciate it. We have close to 20 folks on the call right now. So anything we can do to keep it quiet would be much appreciated, but I'm going to leave it unmuted as much as possible tonight to kind of encourage a good dialogue between everyone so we can all share and ask questions and get lots of good information tonight. First of all, I will introduce us to the call, and thank you all so much for joining for, gosh, what month is it? It's May already. May 2019. We are close to 5 years into doing these calls, if I'm not mistaken, which is crazy to think about. In August, we will be hitting that 5-year mark. So thanks to everyone who's been calling in for that long. Back in that June, so June of 2014, I met two lovely ladies at the LHON conference in Pittsburgh. And since then, we kind of have the idea that that conference is a really great opportunity for us to learn things, meet doctors, ask questions. But one thing that we benefited the most from is just being able to connect with other people who have LHON or who have people in their lives who have LHON, and being able to share those experiences, share advice, lean on each other, connect with each other. Being in a room full of people who have LHON as a part of their life is really a fantastic thing, and brings us all much, much closer together. We realized that back in 2014 and said, hey, wouldn't it be wonderful if we can kind of spread this feeling we're having right now throughout the year, even when we aren't able to be in the same room? So it only took a couple months. And in that August 2014, we began hosting monthly conference calls, and we've been doing it since then. The format has changed slightly. We're on our third phone number, and our third format in a way. Now we talk about different topics each month, invite everyone to ask questions about the topics, or share other interesting things that happened that month that they'd like to share with the group. But before we go any further, I do want to go ahead and take the opportunity to introduce you to the other people who host the call. We take turns. But Jessica is on the call with me.
Hey, everyone.
She is the marathoner of the three of us. She just completed the Boston Marathon in early April, which is a month ago now. So kudos to you. That's a lot farther than I could ever want to run. So congratulations to Jessica for that. And Maria Johnson is the other co-host that we have. If you haven't had the opportunity to hear a call from Jessica or Maria, I encourage you to do so. They're both much more pleasant sounding than I am. But my name is Andy Marks, and I live here in the New York City area. I say that to ground people, but I actually live across the Hudson River in Hoboken, New Jersey. And I have been here for 2 years, but I actually had the pleasure of meeting a bunch of people before I moved here down in Florida, which is where I was living 6 years prior to that. And prior to that, I was in North Carolina and Virginia, which is why I sound the way I do. But thank you all for calling. In a minute, I'll start us on the topic, but first I want to give just a few guidelines. We want to keep this conversation really open and honest, and I want you all to feel that you can share whatever you want, although the call is being recorded and we will post it online at some point. So if you have any specific private questions, I invite you to hold those until the end. I will leave room at the end once I stop the recording to ask those questions. But any questions you have that you're comfortable sharing, we encourage you to do so while it's being recorded, because they tend to be questions that other people would like to hear the answers to as well. There are a few topics we try to avoid to some degree, only because We aren't experts. So those being medical advice, employment advice, any kind of legal advice. If you have questions around who to contact for those types of things, we're happy to point you in the right direction. But we really don't know the best answers to those questions and wouldn't want to steer you incorrectly. So we don't want to talk about those too much this evening. The main topic of this evening is audio entertainment. So anything that we do, either things that we did before and since losing vision, that is a form of audio-based entertainment. That's a very, very, very broad category. It could be anything from audiobooks to podcasts to, frankly, listening to a movie. Any kind of audio-based workout program that they have now. There are apps out there that do all types of things, and I'm sure you all have examples of audio-based entertainment that I do not know about at all myself, although I will be transparent here and let you know that I work in the audio entertainment business, so I know a fair amount about this space. I used to work for Disney in Florida, but I moved to Newark, New Jersey a couple years ago and work here for Audible, which is a large audio-based entertainment or spoken word entertainment company based up here. A lot of people know us as quote-unquote that audiobook company, but there is live theater that we record and release in audio form and things of that nature as well that kind of branch outside of audiobooks. And some really cool things happening over the next few weeks that I would love to share with all of you, but I don't want this to seem like a plug for Audible by any means, because I'm also very, very happy to be transparent with you all and give you other options for audio entertainment as well. But I want to be quiet for just a minute and first kind of go around and have people, everyone doesn't have to answer this question, but I'd love to hear any examples of audio entertainment you've enjoyed in the past, let's say, 6 months.
This is Jeff from Virginia. I go to the movies every once in a while, and they have headphones you can listen to, and it describes the movie as you're watching it.
No, that's great.
This is Larry, and Bookshare. I strongly recommend Bookshare. And as far as podcasts go, I listen to a mess of podcasts politics, history, and science and engineering. Are there any other scientists and engineer background folks on the call?
Sure.
I think someone started to say something there. Any other science or engineering or tech-related guest on the call tonight? I guess either working in that field or interested in that field. Do you mind if I expand it that much?
Yeah, I've got an engineering background. This is Howard in Massachusetts. I like How I Built This is a good one.
How I Built This. It's called How I Built This.
How I Built This. Interesting. Thank you. Right.
How I Built This is if I'm not mistaken, it's an NPR podcast with right. Guy Raz.
That's correct.
And he interviews different entrepreneurs on companies that they started and how they got there.
What branch of engineering, Howard?
I'm medical device system.
Me too. Yes. Uh-huh. I got my master's in medical device design from Wisconsin.
Cool. Well, one thing I just did this weekend is I went and saw Les Miserables at the Boston Opera House with audio description. They usually have one performance that's audio description. I think that's true in New York. They have TDF Cap and lots of places you can see shows with someone in the back describing describing what's going on if you can't see the stage.
And that was a live narrator in your case?
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, they certainly have that at a number of productions here in New York. More often than that, they have non-live recordings, which is kind of synced to the electronics of the system in the same way that it's done for a movie, but obviously theater can go a different way every night, so that it can differ by the night. Any other, I'm sorry, who was that? Do you mind telling us your name as well?
Me?
Yes.
Howard. This is Howard in Massachusetts.
That's great. I just wanted to make sure. I wasn't sure if that was you as well. Any other advice or things that anyone has enjoyed from the audio entertainment space over the last, I don't know, recently at all or ever? And this could be things you enjoyed before losing your vision.
Hey, Andy, this is Bob Banks, Northern Cal. I use BARD to listen to books, B-A-R-D, which is the National Library of Congress, I think. Free service that we all qualify for. And then I'm also a podcast junkie. So,
do you use the BARD app or do you use a separate device?
I use it on my phone, and I use it often when I'm working out or on walks and such.
That's great. Now, I know some people use the BARD app, and I want to say others have a separate device that they like to use for their BARD audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hi, Andy. This is John in Connecticut. I agree with that. And I'm, you know, folks on the phone may know I've had it a long time, LHON since 1972. And my connection with Library of Congress started in around that time in the 70s. So it was reel to reel tape recorder, and then it went to cassette. Mm-hmm. And here we are. In this, somebody mentioned it, I think, about two calls ago, February, how great BART was. And I went ahead and got registered at the local Connecticut library. And so I'm now almost every night listening to books, books recorded from my phone.
Well, I will ask, because I know your local library, anyone who has a local library card also can sign up for an app on their phone called Libby, L-I-B-B-Y, little play on the word library there. And the only thing I would think maybe Libby offers that BARD may have less of would potentially be first run books, newish titles. And that's completely free to you as well. You need to have a library card, and you may need to have someone help you kind of input your information, but I've heard it's very accessible once you're logged in, and you can get first run books there as well. You are renting those books, so you would only have them for, I don't know, I think 2 or 3 weeks, but you can obviously renew and those types of things as well if there's not a long wait. So BARD and Libby and lots of other services for audiobooks as well.
Hi, Larry here.
BARD, you can have the books forever.
Yep, exactly.
Do you need a special app for those Libby books?
For Libby, yes. So through the local library, your individual local library, there are a number of apps, but Libby is an app you can download to any iOS or Android device.
And there's also one called Overdrive. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that. I just heard about it from my library.
Exactly.
And I asked them, special app. And so the big one with me is if I can't like skim around and adjust the speed of playback, then it's kind of not interesting.
Yep. I would tell you Overdrive is actually kind of version 1.0 from your public library. Libby was an improvement from that, basically with a better user interface. And from what I understand, it's more accessible. But they are powered by the same system. Libby is powered by Overdrive, which is the company that your public library uses to power their audiobook.
Can you do a variable speed? They have a Windows? I think they have a Windows download, which is what I would use.
Exactly. Yes, they would have. I'm not sure what type phone you have or device
Windows.
You have.
Windows computer.
Windows computer. Yeah. So you should be able to download Libby books there as well, and you can change the narration speed. Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Typically you can change it from, I think the slowest it's going to go is going to be like 0.75 or maybe 0.5 speed, but it tends to be variable all the way up to like 3x. And the good thing about a lot of these audiobook services when it comes to narration speed is they're actually have it kind of intelligently sped up. And by that, I mean they tend to speed up your gaps between words more than they do. Let me make sure I get this correct. They leave more of the gaps between the words and speed up the speaking of the words, so words are still separated. If you're used to using VoiceOver and speeding up to like 300 times or 400 times is very, very fast, you can probably get more used to listening to an audiobook sped up because they do it in such a way that the words are still separated from each other in an obvious way. And I know that's probably too technical or something that many of you don't care about, but it's interesting to me.
This is Lisa from Canada. I use, through CNIB, which is Canadian National Institution for the Blind. They had an app that was called Direct to Player. So it was books that came from the library, and it was a free service. And if I tell you that originally I was one of the first to try it out, I was using cassettes, and some of you young folks probably don't even know what cassettes are. But then it switched over to the Daisy Reader, which was CDs, and now it's on an app, so I use it on my iPad. However, recently in the last month and a half, CNIB has switched over to a new system, which is not active yet. So I don't have any access to any audiobooks. So I am interested in any and all advice or help.
I have a suggestion for you. That Bookshare that I mentioned before is fantastic because you can download it in different formats. And the one I choose is called Daisy Audio, which plays on the National Library Service player or any of the Daisy audio apps that you might choose. And the files are actually unencrypted MP3. So you can actually play them on any MP3 player, which is pretty amazing. I'm not sure if it's available to Canadians. And there is a tiny subscription price, but it's per year, not per book or anything like that. So that's bookshare.org, and specifically for print handicap folks. And the Daisy Audio is a synthetic speech, but it's really listenable. And then they also have like an text download in Daisy format. So, you can use like a what's that handheld player called? That dedicated Victor Reader. Text file and in Daisy format, and it uses its speech. So that kind of thing. And then the other one that is all it used to be all humans, and now it's a combination of human and machine speech is Learning Ally, which is mostly for academic books, but they also have like literature that might be required for somebody's classes. But, you know, if you want to read like a novel or a biography, they often have it available. And I'm not sure that's available for outside the U.S., but it's a really great service, learningally.org.
Okay, thank you.
And Lisa, Audible is very reasonably priced, so you might consider that also.
Well, I have a connection. Would I not get a discount because I know somebody that works there?
Well, I don't know who you know. It depends how nice that person is. I would tell you that Audible is available in Canada. I'm not sure if we have people from other countries here, but Audible is available in the U.S. and Canada. Depending on how long you have until your new service is available there, you can certainly at the very least sign up for a free trial from Audible without paying anything and have it for free for a month. You'd have to be able to select at least one free title, as well as some of it depends on your marketplace, but you'd have at least one free book and you get to keep that forever, even if you cancel your membership.
Okay. Then how do you do that?
I can make sure I send you instructions, or we can make sure to post it in this group. But for you, it'd be audible.ca. And from there, it will be pretty self-explanatory. You will have to download an app to either your iPad or iPhone. But you'll have to sign up and do all of that from actually a mobile website. So you can still do it from Safari or whatever browser you choose to use from your phone, but then it will prompt you to download the app from there.
Okay. And actually, I never even thought about library. I've never even gone to a library. Maybe our libraries here in Canada do that. I have no idea, but thank you for the suggestion.
Yeah,
that's an idea, because CNIB is doing absolutely nothing for us people. I called asking about it and saying, well, so what are we supposed to do in the meantime? Well, I know it's kind of a glitch in the system, but yet I'm still receiving books, but I can't download them, which makes no sense. Every day I'm getting new books, but I can't download them because it's a different system now.
Got it.
Yeah. Anyways, okay.
Yeah, no, good question. If anyone else has questions out there about ways they'd like to access content or any kind of audio entertainment in the way that we talked about, whether it's theater, podcasts, obviously there are a number of podcast apps and people have their preferences for those as well. Happy to give some podcast recommendations myself if people have certain things they're interested in listening to. But that world is really taking off. I don't know if anyone here has smart speakers in their home, but that's something we haven't talked about. A lot of this audio-based entertainment is available through any Amazon Echo or Alexa device or your Google Home or Apple HomePod or Sonos devices. These types of things can often share any of this entertainment as well. They also have many like game shows you can do. So being the trivia, I don't even want to say buff, trivia nerd that I am, I play Jeopardy every night when I get home with my Echo device. All you have to say is, I'm not going to say it because she's going to start talking right now, but if you said her name and then said, let's play Jeopardy, she would boot right up and have for me 12 Jeopardy questions for the same categories that are on Jeopardy that night. They can they can read bedtime stories, play lots of trivia games with you. So those are all different types of audio-based entertainment as well.
So, Andy, can I ask a question about that?
Of course.
Do you have to set that up, or if you automatically ask it, it'll do it?
So you have to set up an Echo. But if you have the setup for the Jeopardy is all audio-based. So you'd say that you wanted to play Jeopardy, and she'd say, the first time you do it, it may say, hey, you're about to play the Jeopardy skill with your Alexa device. Is that what you wanted to do? And you just say yes, and then it'd probably go right into it.
Oh, that is very cool. Okay.
And it keeps track of your scores throughout the week and tells you how you're doing relative to other competitors and how many questions you got right out of those that night. So
That's very neat.
This is Cindy, and I was gonna add in something about the live theater. We have a company here that brings in the traveling Broadway shows, and so they were bringing in Book of Mormon, and I just contacted them and I said, we have tickets and I just wanted to check and see if you're going to have anything like audio description. And they had the headphones and they hired an actor to read all of the description through so I could hear. And I mean, it was all I had to do was ask and it was available. So, I mean, it was made the show so much more interesting. And so sometimes on things like this, it's just a matter of calling up somebody and asking, and it worked out great.
Yeah, I'd add to that by saying that sometimes if your local theater doesn't offer something like that, or even if they do, sometimes just raising your hand and kind of pointing out your condition will encourage them to offer you some kind of discounted closer seat. I'm not ashamed to do that. That they'll often kind of reserve a seat toward the front up until the first few weeks, up until a few weeks in, just to see if anyone calls to take advantage of those seats. And they'll sell those at a discounted rate.
Yep.
Will they do that for musical concerts too?
I mean, I've done it for comedy in Florida when I was there. So sometimes they will hold those seats for some period of time. If you're calling day of, they'll often have sold those seats. But if you're calling a few weeks before, sometimes they will provide some kind of, it may be a handicap accessible, whatever it happens to be, but it tends to be closer than what you get for the same price if you weren't taking advantage of that. So yes, huh. It's always worth asking, like Cindy said.
And on an unrelated note, I've downloaded the MP3s that are available through a website called iFree Fitness, and or I think she also calls the workouts Blind Alive. I don't know exactly which is which on how to differentiate them, but there are a huge number of different types of workouts available on this website, and they're just descriptions. There's no video to watch, and so. And they're very well described, especially a couple of the yoga ones. And there's meditation, there's stretches, there's that bar, there's Pilates, you name it. I mean, there's so many that I haven't gotten around to even listening to all of them yet, but they're very well done.
And what was the name of that again, free. Cindy?
The website is Blind Alive.
Okay. And you can download those to your mobile device.
It was tricky to figure out because if you're using your cell phone, you are on the website and it says you can click it to download it. And when you download it, it goes into Dropbox. So you do need to have Dropbox on your phone. And then from the Dropbox, you can save it into your notes. And then it's a little MP3 that you can play through your notes.
Got it. I would point out now, this one is not a free service, but there's a popular app called Aptive, which is AAPTIV, which is an audio-based workout. Similarly, no video base at all. It has 50,000 plus workouts ranging from running to treadmill running, biking, fitness, what should I call it? Like a body weight workout or something with weights, boxing classes, yoga classes, meditation classes. I've used it as I go to sleep at night. I listen to a lot of this stuff to make me go to sleep at night, to be honest. But that's another good source as well. And there is a subscription fee there, but you can get a pretty good discount. I want to say like $40 for your first year. And that's unlimited access to all their workouts, 50,000 plus, for the year. And I would point out, I mean, you mentioned workouts and we've been talking about audiobooks. A lot of this, if you aren't interested in downloading other apps or signing up for something through a library, a lot of this stuff can be found through a YouTube app. It's not going to be your best customer experience per se, but you can almost find lots of audiobooks through YouTube or workout apps through YouTube. And some of those are going to be good description as well. Again, not going to be your best experience, not going to be the best quality, and maybe harder to find, but there is no fee for those.
Yeah, Andy, I want to put in a plug for another podcast I listen to regularly, and it happens to be authored by a fellow LA Joiner. His name is Derek Daniel. But the name of the podcast is Life After Sight Loss Radio. And I just love his positivity in his podcast. But the topics are very often just real life experiences, whether it's buying a home or moving or how to travel and the hotel experience, the plane experience, how to go shopping at a grocery store. It's just, again, I really like his positivity and it hits home because I know that he sees probably similar to what I see too. So it's a
yep. Life After Sight Loss, Derek Daniel. He's an amazing guy. He's been a guest on this call before. I want to say I may have hosted that call, but then again, in my memory, I feel like I hosted every call, which I know is not true. Life After Sight Loss. I'm looking up his as we speak, but yeah, he's been doing a number of episodes here as well. So great resource there.
Go ahead. Bob, it's Lissa. I'm trying, as you guys probably know, I'm trying to put links to everything that's been mentioned into the Facebook group. And I'm searching for, I mean, I know about lifeaftersightloss.com, but you said radio. When I look it up with radio, I see it with Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. What's the best link I can put up to make this the most accessible for people?
Lisa, I can probably send you a link right now.
Okay. I have it up as well. So.
Yeah, I do it on the Apple Podcast. And he came out with number 80 today.
Lisa, I'm texting it to you right now. So you should have it in a sec.
Perfect. Thank you.
Not a problem.
So the one blindness podcast I'm currently subscribed to is one of the many fantastic podcasts from BBC, British broadcast, and it's called In Touch. So you get a British perspective of how their disability services works through the government, and sometimes they cover technology and all kinds of things. So In Touch.
And that's just INTOUCH?
Yes, that's correct. In Touch.
Got it. Any other questions or certainly podcast recommendations are awesome. If anyone else has any other podcasts they'd like to recommend, I'm happy to hear those. I would say all of these are great things to do while you're multitasking. So if any of you spend a lot of the time driving your car, these are great things to enjoy while you're doing that.
Smart. I mean, oops. We're being recorded. Whoopsie.
You can say whatever you want. It's okay.
I do have a question. There is an app called Kindle.
Yep.
The Kindle book reader. What is that all about? Like, is that something you have to subscribe to as well?
So,
and is it worth it?
You don't have to subscribe to have the Kindle app. I mean, similarly, you don't have to subscribe to have an Audible app. Kindle, many people, when they say the word Kindle, they're referring to the hardware. So a Kindle is an e-reader, which is basically a tablet which you can't browse the internet with. You can't do a lot of smart things, but you can download books too, and you can read them there. And they often have what some people would refer to as like a paper white feature, which is basically when you're looking at it, it's not like looking at a screen. It's very similar to looking like at an actual page, especially some of the newer Kindles. Kindle is a Amazon product, but Nook is the Barnes & Noble version. There are other versions as well. But you're talking specifically about the Kindle app, which is separate. That's just an app from your phone, which allows you to access all of your Kindle books that you may have downloaded to a Kindle, or you can just download and read them straight from the Kindle app. You do typically pay for those. They're pretty cheap relative to audiobooks if you're comparing prices there. But for a couple bucks or even a dollar, you can get many Kindle books. Kindle ebooks is what they may refer to, either ebooks or digital books. And they often have lots of deals. You can also sign up for what's called Kindle Unlimited, which I don't know what the monthly fee is for that. I want to say it's like $8 to $10 US. And with that, you get access to thousands of books unlimited from the Kindle constantly. However, next to that, I would expect you have similar services through your libraries that you can access. Many of these, because they're ebooks, you can't actually access without vision, although you can blow them up if that's and make them larger font if that's something you're interested in, or you can have them read to you. It will have a computer reading it to you typically, but with the Kindle Unlimited service, you get access to audiobooks as well. It's not all audiobooks, but it does have a pretty large catalog.
So let's understand. The Kindle app and or the Kindle hardware, do they both or does either or have an actual synthetic speech option?
I want to say within the app you can. The Kindle device, it will depend whether it actually has a speaker built in. Some of them have a speaker built in and some of them do not. The cheaper versions don't have speakers and the more expensive ones do.
And with the speakers, do you have to get a book that starts out in audio format, or does it have a built-in synthesizer, I wonder?
Many of them have built-in synthesizers.
Okay.
Again, that probably wouldn't be the route I'd recommend if you're trying to listen to a book. I'd recommend all these other sources we're talking about for purely
what
audio books.
What I actually did once, I purchased a Kindle book. It was more than $10. And then using the Windows software, there's like a shareware piece of software I use that cracks the Kindle files and produces a plain text format. And then I ran it through my speech synthesizer. So that's something you can do if you're somewhat technically patient.
Yes. And it's true that a number of books aren't available in audiobook format. I would say that's becoming less and less common, but for books that aren't available in audiobook format or that are more expensive in that format, the route you just described is a good route. I'm sorry, someone said my name?
Yeah, Andy, it's Chris.
Hey, Chris. This
is a silly and useless question, but...
No, not at all.
Just bear, give me some slack here. I'll say up front that I was a math and logic major, so, you know, totally useless information, but perhaps that's why I like Sudoku so much. I'm not a person who ever, prior to losing my sight, I never could sit around. In the airport, I was obsessed with doing Sudoku. In the doctor's office, I couldn't sit there for 5 minutes. I would do Sudoku. I had to have this book in my hand. So I miss Sudoku. How can I do Sudoku again?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I'd love to throw this out to the group. Was that Larry? Who was that? Was that Jeff who recommended Braille?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Braille is a good way of accessing stuff that has a physical position to it.
Yeah, but I don't know Braille.
Well, it takes a few weeks to get the numbers down, so it's not like...
Oh, that's right, if I just learned the numbers.
Yeah, it's not insurmountable at all. And it just as a gimme, the numbers are the first 10 letters, so with like a number symbol in front of them. So if you learn that, then you've already learned half of the Braille alphabet.
So how are you going to find a Sudoku book for me in Braille?
I'm sure it exists. Yeah,
Chris,
yeah.
I've got a whole.
And there are services that will generate Braille, and then of course there's the refreshable Braillers. But those are a bit of an investment. Of course, if you have a disability services office that's providing you stuff, then especially if you can justify it for employment or daily living needs, then they might be willing to foot the bill on that kind of thing.
Thanks, guys. Lisa, did you say something?
Yeah, I just said I'm searching under Braille Sudoku puzzles, and there's like pages of, I'm putting a couple links up, but yeah. And then if you use Hadley to do some basic Braille training, and that'll be the ticket. But I'm putting up some links for you, so there's definitely Braille book Sudoku puzzles for you.
Thank you. You didn't expect a question like that, Andy.
Well, it's a great question, though. I mean, there are lots of things like that. I know people want to find ways to do crosswords and word scrambles and all these kinds of things that where people have the ability to learn Braille and the patience to learn Braille. I think anything like that is worth your time. Any other entertainment that people have enjoyed lately, specifically in audio format? I want to make sure we cover our bases here, or questions for anyone who hasn't found the right kind of thing that they enjoy listening to. We haven't talked about music at all, but I mean, obviously we could talk about that.
Well, I'll offer one. This is Howard. There's a website called Blind Mice Mega Mall, and that has a Blind Mice movie vault. And in that movie vault, there are MP3s of hundreds and hundreds of movies. So you can go there, get the download the MP3 into your computer or your VictorStream SD card, and you can listen to tons of movies.
And that's Blind Mice Movie Vault?
Right.
Okay, blindmicemovievault.com.
I think it's Blind Mice Mega Mall, and then in the Blind Mice Mega Mall website, there's a movie vault.
Got it. Okay, Blind Mice Mega Mall. And I'm sure if you just had to Google that, you could find that that way as well.
Yeah. And it's so basically they took the movies, audio described, and just made MP3s out of them.
So everyone else understands that. It is just the audio then, because it's an MP3 file, which is all that many of us need. So you can just carry around your headphones. I know Netflix, during a hackathon a couple years ago, someone created a feature within Netflix where it basically you could download just the audio, including the audio description of any of their TV shows, which basically turned any of their shows into a radio drama in a way.
Yeah, that's all we need. We're blind.
Exactly.
No squinting at a TV screen.
Exactly. I don't know if anyone else here is interested, but I certainly listen to sports games. I don't know if that's something that other people do, but I have a number of ways that I do that. So
I was just going to open up and tell you that. I'm a baseball, big baseball fan. So
that's a great sport to listen to.
Yeah, MLB At Bat has one, which is great as long as you're not watching the game live. I use it a lot when I'm not, if I'm working out or walking or just out and about. And you can listen to any game except for the Yankees and the Red Sox. Actually, that's not true. I just don't want to promote those teams because I don't like them. but you can listen to any game that's they say it's live, so I took it with me to an actual game at the Oakland A's, and it's about a 15-second delay because of the FCC, and that took me probably a couple different calls with some angry people because they were claiming it was live, and I said, it's not live because I'm watching the guy walk to the dugout, and you said your thing said he hadn't struck out yet. So anyway, that's just because of the delay. But other than that, it's a great app. And speaking of which, the way I solved that problem, if you're ever at a game, you can go to I guess all stadiums have it. They have a spot for disability services, and they basically give you an AM radio that's tuned into their channel there at the stadium, and it gives you live play-by-play. So it's perfect.
That's a great resource, exactly.
Yep.
And other sports have similar things, sometimes due to the market you're in and those types of things that may be blocked due to radio. Obviously, there are AM channels you can listen to, but being a transplant, I've never been able to listen to my teams through AM radio. So I do lots of apps from my phone to listen to my sports teams as well. Any other questions? I want to give a few more minutes if people have questions on that. And then we have one more thing to discuss, some fun that people have had over the last week in the country to the north of me.
The other app that I wanted to mention is it's all guided meditations. And the name of the app is Insight Timer. And it's all free. There's thousands of different, you can pick the category, the amount of time you want to spend listening to a guided meditation, and they are fantastic. They're relaxing and they're wonderful, and I highly recommend this app.
That's called In-Flight Timer, you said, right?
Insight Timer.
All right. Certainly, after you get off here, you all may notice that Lisa has pointed or placed links to a lot of this information we said. So if you haven't had a chance to write down some of what we said or to record it anywhere, or have someone write it down for you, you can find it there. And if you have recommendations that you realize after this call, feel free to paste a link there as well. We'd love to take any kind of recommendations from any of you. I think lots of this stuff is a way to stay in touch with the entertainment that other people enjoy. And frankly, a lot of these forms of getting entertainment are becoming a lot more mainstream, which is something we benefit from, which I think is good here as well. The fact that listening to video description in movie theaters is becoming much more common, and those types of things help us out a whole lot as well. When it comes to that, obviously you may still have to go to your big box movie theaters, your AMC or your Regals, as opposed to your boutique mom-and-pop movie theater, but those are pretty much everywhere these days. So any closing thoughts from other folks before we switch gears?
Andy, it's Chris. I'd like to make a comment. I would like to comment about the last three phone calls. I've enjoyed the way you've changed it up. These weren't phone calls about people's journeys per se. And I like the change. I'm not saying I don't enjoy listening to people's inspirational journeys. Of course I do. But I think these last three phone calls were of great value to me, and I think possibly to other people, because you went down a different path these past phone calls. I gained a lot of information here about entertainment, about the workplace, about gosh, there's so much information gained from these last three phone calls that you just went down a different avenue here, and I appreciate that. And I think that's something to take into account, and I just appreciate that.
Well, thank you for saying that. We really appreciate it. And I mean, as always, we want to make these calls the best for all of our listeners. So if you have advice or questions or comments, you can make them directly to us. You can make them anonymously to lhonlive@gmail.com if you'd like. But we're happy to take advice. For those who are newish to the call, historically we have had guest speakers every month kind of share some of their journeys. And early on we had speakers and topics that we wanted to cover. But we hadn't had calls dedicated to certain topics in a while and wanted to kind of resurface some of these specific topics and share information that maybe has changed. So that's kind of the path we're going down now, and we'll see how long we do this until we have a change again. But certainly appreciate all of you calling in, and thanks for your feedback, Chris.
You're welcome.
All right. With that, if you have later comments on things, feel free to give us that then as well. But before I stop the recording, I did want to give us a chance to discuss all of the fun that was had in Vancouver recently. So I don't know. I know we have at least three people on the call who had the opportunity to be there. And I want to kind of open up the floor for those of you to share what you got from your time in Vancouver, and also maybe any differences from other conferences you've been to, the things that meant the most to you, things that you enjoyed that were surprising to you. Any answers to any of those questions I think are worth sharing with this group.
Lisa, Ashley, Patrick.
Okay, I'll start it off. This is Lisa. I thought it was very well done and put together, and commend the LHON Canada group for, you know, taking a big feat like that on. As Lisa knows, she does amazing U.S. conferences, and it's a lot of work involved. I enjoyed it. I learned a few new things.
met some new people, reacquainted with people that, you know, I met a couple years ago, and last year had an opportunity to finally meet another Canadian, Brody McKenzie, who isn't on the call and told me he was going to be on the call tonight, but finally got a chance to meet him in person after 7 years of knowing him. And so that was an experience. Also, what I found with this conference was the doctors actually took time to answer questions, and you could do one-on-one talking with them. You know, I had the opportunity to talk to Dr. Kranji, I could be pronouncing that wrong, so forgive me, and Dr. Sadoun personally, which I have done in past, but, you know, just having that opportunity to ask a personal question, I felt was very worthwhile attending the conference. That's what I take from it. And of course, I missed a lot of the ones that attend the US. I wish they could have been there too, but not everybody can attend all the conferences. I know that. But I did meet some new people and reacquainted with old acquaintances, and it was very well done.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing, Lisa.
Yeah. Hey, Andy, it's Patrick.
Hey, Patrick. Thanks.
And sorry, it's loud right now. I'm on a ferry boat in the middle of San Francisco Bay, which is why I've been recalcitrant and speaking up. But yeah, I thought the conference was terrific. I thought the doctors' panels were very solid. And to echo Lisa, they were very open in terms of answering questions. And you know, you'd think they would be a little bit hesitant to answer some of the questions in an open setting, and they weren't. You know, answering people's questions. Like one woman had, you know, a lot of very specific questions about her son, and they were good about answering those questions. And then I also thought the meet and greet on the night before, the Friday night, kind of put names to faces. So I thought all in all, the people who were on did a great job.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing, Patrick. I really appreciate it. And thanks for jumping off mute to be able to share that. I appreciate it. And that's
Ashley?
Okay for anyone. Ashley can share if she'd like. I'm not going to twist her arm, but if you'd like to share anything, Ashley, you're welcome to, and feel free to cut me off, but I won't necessarily make you do that. She may not be here anymore anyway. I'm not sure. So we've had a few jump off, but
how about Lisa?
Lisa, would you like to add anything?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. It was, I mean, I loved it, of course. I mean, what could there be more fun than a weekend with a group like this? And, it was awesome. We had like 80 folks, and it was a mix of maybe 2/3 Canadians, a third from the U.S. And so it just sort of felt fluid. I don't think it really particularly felt Canadian or U.S. It was just LHON, really. And like people said, the doctors were amazing. We haven't had Valerio Corelli in a while and his colleague Chiara Lamorgia, but having the two of them really was nice to, to sort of hear their thoughts and lots of question answering. So that was great. The patient panel was awesome, and Ashley did a super good job. And Brody was on stage for a while, and we had someone as young as 15, and then we had Jamal, who was mentioned earlier in the call, who's been affected for 40 years, and so it was just quite a range of experiences that were shared. Like Patrick said, the meet and greet, the magic starts when the people get to know each other, but the content was really solid and interesting, and the breaks were just full of lively conversation. The food was amazing. The folks up there really focus on making sure that the food and the accommodations are great. It was a wonderful experience. Really, really loved the whole thing.
That's awesome. I will take the opportunity to say that we have another U.S. conference coming up in June. I actually don't have the dates of that, Liz. So if you want to tell us the dates there, that will be in D.C. again this year with a day on the Hill. If I were to guess, it's mid to late June. It's Friday, Saturday, I think, this year. But Lisa, can you share those dates as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So the actual conference is on Friday the 28th, starting with a mixer at 11 o'clock. So there's a mixer followed by lunch and then sessions in the afternoon. And then Saturday morning, the 29th, there's breakfast and sessions in the morning. And we wrap it up before lunch. So it's 2 half days, so it's not quite so intense. For those who can get there earlier, on Thursday the 27th, there's Day on the Hill. So if you register by May 17th, it's a separate registration, and the UMDF organizes things with your local representatives, and they put busing together to take people down to Capitol Hill from the conference hotel, and you get to participate in trying to raise funding levels and get your local representative to sign on to ways of funding LHON and other mitochondrial diseases. And then there's a social event at the hotel that night, purely optional, but it's, you know, if you're around, people will get together. We know how that works. And then, on Saturday after the thing wraps up before lunch, things are being organized for those who can stay longer to optionally. We think it'll be a duck boat tour of DC followed by meeting up at a bar/restaurant. So again, we're trying to have a good mix of social options integrated with great content. So you can come for as brief as drive in the morning of the 28th and be there from like 11 a.m. till lunchtime the 29th, you know, Friday, Saturday. Or you can come in as early as Wednesday night and, you know, get organized for, you know, for going to Day on the Hill on the 27th and stay through late on Saturday. And so lots of opportunity.
And I'll take the opportunity to plug just how amazing those are. That obviously I said it at the top of the call, but those are the reason we have these calls. It really is a fantastic opportunity. And this is only a taste of what you get at that call. Or at that conference, having the opportunity to kind of meet other people face-to-face who have experienced LHON, who have family members. I have family that I brought to those conferences, and they find it just compelling to meet so many other people who have the same experience that I have, and they've all found it very helpful as well, just to connect to other caregivers and friends and family and all those kinds of things. I think it's extremely powerful. I can't say it enough. Typically it's held in the DC area every other year, so we can kind of piggyback on with UMDF's Day on the Hill, which is a fantastic opportunity, but the off years, or I guess the even years, are held elsewhere around the country. So any questions on that before I take us off the recording and open up the call? I want to make sure we get any answers to those questions on the recording though.
Andy, do you have any idea where the conference will be next year?
Phoenix.
Phoenix. We'll be on the West Coast next year in Phoenix. Again in late June.
Phoenix, Arizona, exactly. I hear there's a great bridge there. But let's see. The next call, I want to make sure I get this on the call. The next LHON live call, for those of you who are new, we conduct these calls once a month, the first Wednesday of every month, and it's always the same time, 8 p.m. Eastern time, 5 p.m. Pacific, for those here in the U.S. We obviously love to have callers who aren't here in the U.S. as well, so share the calls with anyone you'd like. But the next call will be June 5th. That will be the first Wednesday of that month. So feel free to call us back in. And if there aren't any other last minute questions, I will go ahead and open up the recording because I want to do that so people have a chance to share as well.